lowered more and more. People just everywhere, not talking about here, but seeing that they just sliding backwards away and away. And let's just pray one for another as we come into a time, a season of the year when Christmas is celebrated as the birth of Christ, and then people get Santa Claus and everything else on their minds to the Christmas. Fourth part of the end with death and with the beast of the earth. Now let's read Matthew 24, verse 9 through 11. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Father, we ask you that you would just come among us today and guide us by your understanding. We know that in this hour that, Lord, we must depend upon you, because we cannot in our own selves do nothing, but yet we know we can walk in the light as you shine it in our pathway. Guide us now. Forgive our sins. Bless us with your presence and understanding this day. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to see all of you out this morning. I finished up on the third seal last week, and I thought, well, it'd be maybe an odd thing for, you know, people, they kind of expect you around Christmas time to preach on Christmas and, you know, the birth of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure you had your radio on this morning. If you had it on, you heard a lot of the stories and things. I heard one this morning I really liked. What a man was reading a poem about Jesus, and he brought it all the way through the Old Testament, at whatever ever prophet and things spoke of him. And I thought, if he just knew the seals and things of the Bible, then he'd see that it spoke of Jesus Christ. But he didn't know that part, but he did. He could see that, like Genesis, he was the creator. Exodus, he was the deliverer. Just keeping on coming like that, you know, the lawgiver, and then the great I am coming off. But during this period of time, we don't try to emphasize Christmas, because we understand Jesus was born sometime in the spring of the year, but yet it's a good time when all the world is caught up into the ecstasy of Christmas, then it's all right for us to be caught up in it in the right way, you know, in the right form. But as I said, it's kind of expected of most everybody to preach a message on Christmas and the birth of Christ. Well, I believe here in the end time, we're down to the ending of it. And without the birth of Christ, there wouldn't have been any, me and you, we wouldn't have been here today. But without the death of Christ and the resurrection, then you just got a baby. And that's what basically most people want to talk about today, is the baby Jesus. And they've got all kind of things going all around the world, you know, about Christmas and things, which I say it's all well and good. But I want to speak about something else that, from the Word, that would help us to see the life of Christ. See, in that, instead of just speaking about the baby and how he come and what he done and all of the great things that he done, then what about the Word in our time? See, down here in the end time where the Word's at, then they want to go back to a baby. But as I say, all that's well and good, but it just not my way of doing it. Maybe tonight we'll get into something that'll help a little better on it. But this morning we want to start now, if we can, into the fourth seal, and just kind of see where we can get to on, like we've been at it, you know, like taking the symbols and things, and see what they mean, and then just move on from there of each seal, and see what we can get into in the seals this time. But I hope you're understanding where we're up to. We'll read a lot of it in a little bit. This fourth seal, you'll find him talking on the fifth seal as a foundation. When he's talking about the combat beast, you'll find Brother Branham explaining that this fourth seal reveals the ending of the Antichrist. Now we know we went from Antichrist, false prophet, now we're down to the fourth seal that reveals the beast and where it comes to. Then we'll take up, the Lord willing, tonight something on where he gets his power, and then we want to go into what he is revealed under that seal, because if you notice there in the reading, it said he had a name on him called Death, and hell followed him. Well, let's get down into those things, into the symbols first, and then we'll go back and pick up. It'll be a little more interesting later on, maybe, to some of you. But let's just pick up those things. We read that this fourth horse was a pale horse. Now, what does that pale horse represent? Who's that rider? We found that it's the same rider on all four horses. And this fourth seal, as I was fixing to say, shows the ending of, there's no more under the fifth, sixth, and seventh seal. You don't find nothing under there that covers about the Antichrist or the beast or the false prophet or the things like that. You run out of the opposition, you might say. In other words, this seal shows the ending of what began as an Antichrist doctrine, what began back under in the early church age as just a little saying that went around, you know, as preachers begin to preach, and that's where you got the worst trouble of all is the preachers, because they're the ones that get it confused. And they begin to preach little doctrines and little sayings and all, and the Antichrist spirit just kept coming on down. We've been watching it through the seals as it just come on down from that Antichrist spirit right on down into a man standing there as a false prophet. You know, as he just stood there and became a pope. And then seeing how that comes all the way down through the time and winds up here in the end time in the greatest religious society that has been known outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, as far as books and tapes and things of the Bible, and there's more Bibles read now than they ever have. There's more Bibles in the world now than they've ever been. But yet, what's wrong with the... Where is the God of the Bible? See, out of all of that you can read of the Bible, where's the God of the Bible that they talk about serving? It's become a great religious society, just like it was when Jesus was here. But see, it's come through the seals. That's what the seals have revealed. The seals reveal the Antichrist, and then the false prophet, and then the incarnate false prophet there, and then coming down to a beast. Well, see, then we've been picking up the seals on the other side, showing what it what it revealed of Jesus Christ, and how the Word come down, and it was restored to the church, and all coming back. But see, in this seal, now you wind up with the ending of it all. As far as earthly time, counting before you get like to the millennium and things like that, now we're not talking about that, but as far as the earthly time of man, we don't go any further than a time element wise of what's shown under the fourth seal, and we'll get to it later to see that that's the battle of Armageddon that everybody's talking about, how that that it's coming down to Armageddon now. Every radio station you got on, every preacher's preaching on how that Armageddon is here. Well, see, that's true. But does that mean he understands how that Armageddon started back here in Genesis and just keeps coming through the Bible until it comes down to the end? Well, then what we want to see is just get the symbols out of the way. Then we'll go back like Brother Branham did. We'll go back all the way up into heaven and come out with a seal and show what it reveals. But the fourth seal now showed him as a pale horse. See, then what does that pale horse represent? We found the white horse. It represented a white righteous church as it went forth riding. And the rider that was on his back was the Antichrist. Well, then you didn't change riders, you just changed horses. The next was a red one that represented the killing and all down through there of the 68 million that they put to death. But who was it? Same rider. riding on the back of the horse. It was just a different stage of his ministry, wasn't it? Here you find him as just a little deceiving spirit among the people. He didn't hurt anybody, you know, as far as physically. Then the next stage, you see him come into a false prophet, and he begins to get control and starts killing people. See, then the third seal reveals the symbol of the third seal on the black horse was the dark age, and that's where that the church went into. Who was the rider of the horse, though? Satan, riding in another stage of his ministry. Well, then that's what we'll see here in the seal as we get into the fourth one. Now, let's just pick it up from that and just go into it. 301 of the seal book. He says, then we find out his mystery here in his church and state. The fourth stage of his ministry, he's called the beast. Now, watch the four stages of it. It looks like it just comes out to three, but it's really four. The fourth stage of his ministry, he's called the beast. Now watch it as it comes out to that is what we've been studying the whole time leading up to it. See, Antichrist, false prophet, beast. That's what we've been going over and over and over. Now when we finish with this seal, you won't see any more Satan being revealed from the seals. You see the fifth seal sold under the altar. You see the sixth seal tribulation period. You see the seventh seal, the coming of the Lord. But yet, if we can get this down, we'll see Satan come to an end. Now, tonight's message will be a little better, I believe, to us, because it'll show us something from Satan that was never known until this time, that Satan is nothing but a bluff. He's just a bluff. He's not just the bad thoughts of your mind, but yet he has no power other than what he has permitted unto him. See, we'll try to pick that up tonight, see something about Satan. But let's just watch him now in his fourth stage on this seal. Then we find out his mystery here in his church and state. The fourth stage of his ministry, he's called the beast. First, he's called the Antichrist, and he's called a false prophet, and he's called the beast. Now we find here being called as the beast. He says, now I want you to notice that's after the fourth horse, and in this fourth horse, if you'll notice, the first one was white. The next one was red, the next one was black, and the fourth. All of these other three were represented in it because pale is red, white, and mixed together. It's all mixed in this one horse. And there he become four, or actually the three in one is all mixed up in that one thing. Now, a pale horse. See, you started off with a white horse. Then you went to a red horse. Then you went to a black horse. Now you got a pale horse. Well, see, each one of those others was setting a time or what was going on for a time. But watch it all wind up now down in this fourth one, because what would you have if you take a little white paint, red paint, and black paint and mix it together? You'd have a sickly pale-looking color. You mix the red, what is it, red and black that you get gray? Well, it might be white and black that you get gray. Then you mix a little red and you really got a perversion. But it all comes out to just a pale, sickly-looking color. What's that sickly-looking color of pale? We ever get to it, watch it be death. And we'll find that organizational system that we was in down through there, and as I keep saying to you younger ones where you'll know, not the people, not the good, honest-hearted people that are out there. But the system of that organized religion is death. If you think it ain't, then you watch during your Christmas period of time. And you watch your gatherings together of your people. And watch what they talk about in the things at Christmas. And the fun and the mockery they make of a real Christmas, if you're going to have one, which would be celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, it's all tied up in giving gifts and exchange and having fun. I mean, watch the houses that you go into to be with the people of the religious leaders that are in the churches. Ain't nothing wrong with having fun and everything, but what's their fun? Got their rock and roll music so loud you can't hear what you're talking about. Television in another room, going backwards and forth, laughing and cutting up. Nothing to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Ain't nothing wrong with us said sitting down, having fun, passing out gifts, talking and all like that. Fellowshipping's what it's supposed to be about. But just watch the people, and then you'll see that it is death. Because they have no life there. The only way you have life is in the Word. But now just watch that point now. He says, now I want you to notice the four of them. Notice the off mark of four of the spiritual mathematics. God is three. This is four. He's in four here. First, Antichrist, white. Second, false prophet, red. Third, biker of heavens and earth and purgatory, black. You're coming in four stages now. Fourth, the beast, pale horse, Satan then being kicked out of heaven. Well, see, then it's when it comes to this place, we see this horse represents the fourth stage of his ministry under the pale horse, and that fourth stage is the beast. Now, you hear a lot of people talk about the beast and all, and they think it's like King Kong, some great thing walking across the earth to deceive people, because watch it tonight, he has power to call fire down out of heaven. And everybody looks at that and they think about all of this ET, you know, all this extraterrestrial beings that people claim to be seeing and all kind of things that's happening. And then they try to figure out, is it this great man over here that's going to rise up and be a beast? Most of your Protestant systems, ask them and see, most of them are looking for some Syrian to come and take over. You know, he's supposed to come down out of there because some scripture they read. And then they're trying to figure out about this Pope that's coming along, what his number is, and all the different things. But if we've caught the foundation so far, we ought to be able to see that the beast is nothing more than Satan incarnate into what he's building himself. Read Satan's Eden, how that it took God 6,000 years to build his Eden there in the Garden of Eden. But then it took, because he worked 6 days making the world. Then it took Satan, he's been working 2,000 years now, and he's got his Eden since Calvary, so he's been working 6,000 years on it. Working and building his kingdom. Bringing it forth to where that he's got an Eden now. He's got the people of the world tied up in his religious ideas. And see, this all comes down and just keeps mingling right on down till it comes out to be one pale horse. And that rider has a name on him we read there a minute ago. It's called Death. No other seal had anything tied to a name. Read it. First seal didn't say anything about a name. If it had, the prophet wouldn't have told you he was Antichrist. See, the fourth seal shows him as death. Because it's a mixture of all of those things all the way from back there at the beginning when it just started out a little idea. Until it becomes down to the place that it just takes over the minds of the people. Until it becomes a beast. Now watch him in a minute. That beast is not in our time. It'll be on past our time. But now, just think about it. Who's the rider now? He's the Antichrist, but in a different stage. See, first you saw him as an Antichrist, a false prophet. Then you saw that false prophet take over as an incarnate work, Satan in the Pope. But this beast literally becomes the devil incarnate. And it'll be after our time. We'll get to it in a minute. That's what I like about it. We don't go to see this stage of the ministry. We've seen the Antichrist. We've seen the false prophet.
We've seen all of those things down through there in our time, but when it comes to this stage, the rapture comes before Satan becomes incarnate. And that's what I like about it. We know Russia one of these days will drop bombs all over this United States, but Satan don't become incarnate. That don't happen that way. That's all under that seal. That don't happen that way until it comes down here that the church leaves. See, we've got to get out of here. And that's what we're trying to see. We want to just look at the natural side of it and what it shows in Satan destroyed. Then we'll go back and pick up what this seal shows us how to get out of here. Because the rapture comes on the fourth seal. I heard a man the other day saying, well, the rapture comes on the three and a half seal. Well, there ain't no three and a half seal. There's no way to be a three and a half seal. The third seal don't have a half that makes a fourth. The third seal is a revelation, and the fourth seal is a revelation. Well, then the fourth seal will be the revelation for the rapture. The rapture don't come on a three and a half to try to make a seven fit in it. Now, if somebody hears that said that, then I'm not... It don't matter what you said, I'm just saying what I believe. I don't believe in a three and a half and a three and a half seals, because you don't have seals that way. You can have church ages to come down, but you don't have a half church age. You have Satan in the first three, gets his revival, and the church in the last three gets hers. Goes to the ground in the dark ages. You don't have a three and a half. See? But the seal now, we'll see the rapture. Now watch it. We've been covering up to this place, and watch this seal prove that the church is gone before this seal opens. And it's literal happening. Then you'll see all the seals in their literal happening is to the Jews. You know, when it finally ends, because that's what we're trying to study, is the end of each one. But watch it now as it comes down, because he's on a pale horse. Watch him as he rides on through now. I know there's something either in me or something this morning to find things, but we'll just keep on going and just ride the thing out. We're talking about. Maybe it's in me. I've been having trouble days with a cold and everything. You just pray for me. I'm the thing out during the night, so you just pray for me. But watch this part of it. The Antichrist on a pale horse, mixed colors. A horse is a beast that represents a power. His power is all mixed up. Why? It's politics, it's national powers, it's religious powers, it's demon powers, it's all kind of powers mixed together. A mixed pale horse. Now it's all kind of powers. So what have we studied now? One being one stage of a ministry, the next another stage of a ministry, next of another stage of a ministry. Now it's winding up here in the ending of the ministry. The ending of that, those three mixed together. See, it's been the Antichrist all the way through. People always wondered, well, now what's the Antichrist and what's the beast? I heard a man on the radio one day. He said, I'm going to tell you this morning about the beast and who he is and everything. He said, boy, you ain't never heard preaching like this. When he got through, he went over to the book of Revelations, read the scripture, and then close the service saying, boy, you ain't never heard preaching like that. Well, he never did tell who the Antichrist was. He just read the scriptures about the Antichrist. You know, about John saying that the Antichrist would be the deceiving, you know, and there is Antichrist already among you, and anyone over there reading how that he would become the beast. Why, even Scofield had better knowledge than that. Read your Scofield Bible. He brings the beast down from the Medes of Persians and right on down into the Roman Empire and brings it out of the Roman Empire of the natural Roman government right over into Papal Rome, which is a Roman Catholic Church. He knew that much. But what I don't believe he knew about the beast was this thing. Me and you better be careful. When we're looking for the beast, we might find out we're already controlled by the beast. See, everybody thinks you got to have a number. You got to do this. Well, sure, that all comes into manifestation. But when that mind that you have is captivated by that doctrine of that Antichrist system, you and the system become one. You're part of the Antichrist then. Brother Branham says you've either got the mark of the beast or you've got the seal of God. The seal of God's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the seal of God, you're automatically marked by the mark of the beast. Now that's how serious it is. See, that's what we want to get into the fourth seal to see it reveal more. That's how serious it is. That beast, we followed him stage by stage. Found him even sitting right among this ministry in the end time called the Bride of Jesus Christ. Not just looking out there for him or trying to find him somewhere, but found him sitting right among us. Found him in us. Because you and I started that way. A person that's not born again in their soul cannot be nothing but Satan controlling. I don't care how good they are. They can love mom and daddy. They can work for mom and daddy. They can work for anybody. They can do anything. But still, until a person's born again, in their soul is Satan controlling them. Well, see, that's where the trouble comes then. We're not trying to look at the seals as a something off out yonder somewhere. See what they have to do with us. What causes us to be the way we are? What makes us have these problems of life that we have? We might find out it's tied up to the Antichrist. We might find out the beast is involved in it if we'll just check our lives. But now just think, Satan has been doing the riding all the way through. He's the rider on the white horse. He's the rider of the red horse. He's the rider of the black horse. And now we see him as the rider of the pale horse. See, it's stages of his ministry. Now watch him when we get to it. He is death, but the prophet said he was death when he started. Anything contrary to the word is automatic death. Anytime me and you turn down the word, that's automatic death. Something causes us to turn it down. When we turn it down, then it's death. See, we go into total darkness every time, the prophet said. But now watch this point now. It come in slow and gradual. Satan don't just jump in all at once. In the book of Daniel, you'll find that he comes in by flattery. If you read the book of Daniel, you'll find that Satan comes in, this Antichrist, this beast that everybody's been looking for. He don't come in just all at once like a King Kong and come walking across the land and, you know, call down fire out of heaven and make everything, you know, work and people fall down and worship him. As I tried to preach back years ago, you couldn't have a pope standing there if it hadn't been a group of people out there wanting him to do that. They had the Spirit on them that caused him to come to the place he was. See, then in the opposite side of that, in the bride, you can't have Jesus Christ standing here unless there's a group of people with the Spirit in them calling for him to come. See, because Satan pulled all of his power that away. But coming in just by flattery, see, first was little Antichrist sayings, little things among the early church. Then the first thing you know, here come a pope. Well, now, where has the Catholic ever apologized for killing 68 million people of their own record? But here in the end time, it's a popular thing to be a Catholic. It's a popular thing. I mean, everybody wants to be Catholic. You watch General Motors change plant managers, and if he's a Catholic, everybody turns to Catholic around there. Watch all you big men, and then when you do, you see all of these others, they become part of what he is. It's a popular thing. But yet it just comes in slow and gradual. Satan don't just walk out and say, hey, look at me. Now watch the scripture a minute. We get it in Isaiah 14. Where he says, I'll ascend to the Most High. You know, I'll exalt myself above the sons of God. I'll be like God. He doesn't do that all at once. Just run out there and say, hey, look at me. I'm the devil. You're going to have to worship me. Nobody would do that, would they? But through the deception that comes in so gradual till every one of us was caught in it. All of us was caught in the system that finally comes out and winds up to be that the beast can take over. Every one of us was. See, because we were born that way. But it's so slow and gradual till Satan just got a little control. The first seal showed him as an antichrist, just a little control. The next seal showed him as more control. The next seal showed him as more control. Now watch under the fourth when you get to it, it just shows him with all the power. When he come to Jesus there in the temptation, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. You remember that in the temptation about Matthew 8, somewhere in there? He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you these kingdoms. Now, Jesus didn't say, they don't belong to you. Because he knew every government belonged to Satan. Read that under your fourth seal. Every government in the world belongs to Satan. See, then we've got all of these things that we think is so good. But yet it's all just a downfall to pull the people down. What do you think's been happening over all of these years? Satan has gradually brought himself to a place until now. What can you say? What can you say? Who can you argue with? They just write a law. You find something, they just write a law. And they just make them a law to control that. Well, then you start out on some of that. They just write another law. There's laws in effect right now that they could kill you for worshiping contrary to the World Council of Churches. They just ain't enforced them yet. But they've got to write them laws, see, by flattery, just slowly, gradually bringing everything to a place until Satan takes control. Adolf Hitler didn't take over Germany all over at once, did he? He didn't walk in and say, look at me, I'm the big man here, I'm taking over. He built himself up through the ranks until he come to the place he could control the whole country. Just at his word. What do you think's happening? The book of Daniel says he comes in by flattery. Do you know that the Catholic Church is not even a member of the World Council of Churches. As far as the last records I had of them, they're not. The World Council of Churches invites the Catholic just to come in with them. Come in by flattery. See, not no big thing that you'll read about it in the newspaper and say, here comes a beast across the United States and everybody better run. It's slow and gradual till it catches the very people that's supposed to know. The Bible says in the last days the people would know their God. Until you find it right among the ministry and the message of the hour. That the people and what they're doing. I was sitting back there reading just a while ago under the fourth seal where Brother Rand was talking about, said you give a man a little ministry. And he said it just builds him up. He said, instead of holding him down, he said, God's looking for somebody that he can just keep pouring it on and it makes him go down, 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 down. But you look all across the land now. Give a little ministry to a man and just builds his head up so big until he has a following. Well, now listen. That is what we've got to watch. Satan will come in and deceive all that are not the elect. That's according to the Bible. And Brother Brown said it even get them confused. Well, now that's how deceiving he is. But he comes in by flattery. Now he comes to a stage under this one of the fourth stage called the beast. Now let's just watch and see if we can look at something from the fourth seal now that the prophet spoke of that will prove. If I ask you, I'd say, what is your proof that the rapture comes on the fourth seal? You know, the prophet said the rapture comes on the fourth seal. Well, are we just going to take that and say, well, I believe that. Where's your proof the rapture comes on the fourth seal? What's your basis for it coming on that? Because if you ain't careful with that, you could have it just as good on the three and a half seal as you could have it on the fourth one. Because you might find a statement somewhere of the three and a half being something. But where's the revelation? Just as Brother Branham would stand there and say, the church does not go through the tribulation. And every writer, every scholar, everybody always believed that the church would go through the tribulation. Brother Branham said, no. How did he prove they wouldn't? He said, because back in Genesis, back there in the flood, he said, Enoch went up, Noah went over, said he don't type the rapture. See, he'd take something and prove his point with it. Well, we can just read and say, well, the rapture comes on the fourth seal. We believe that. Well, that'd be no more than just reading out of a book. But what's the prophet prove on the fourth seal that the church does not go through the tribulation? Proving that the rapture comes right here under the revelation of the fourth seal. What's his proof of it now? Watch where he takes it down to a place that you can really just nail it down. This is page 304 and 305. We find out here that this Satan, after being kicked out of heaven, incarnates himself in the beast, and now he is a beast, Antichrist, false prophet, now beast, given the name of death, and hell follows him. Fully Satan on his throne. Oh my. On the earth, he's Satan representative on the earth. Now he is now head of the kingdoms of the world, the very same kingdoms that he offered to the Lord Jesus in Matthew 4. That's Matthew 4, I said 8 for you. Satan now becomes a full king. Watch him now. Now this happens when he becomes to the beast. Now this happens later on. He's false prophet now. He will become beast after a while when he breaks his covenant with the Jews. He says this happens later on. He will be given a heart of a beast at that time. And Satan will incarnate himself because when the church goes up, Satan is cast out. Now, when the church goes up, Satan is cast out. So the church is going to have to go up before Satan is cast out. So you see the proof that it does come on the fourth seal. See, the fourth seal will show us the rapture then. Because, as I said, by time-wise, that's as far as we go. It just reveals the Antichrist and things like that. But on the fourth seal, the revelation will come of the rapture on the fourth seal, because the fourth seal reveals him in the fourth stage of his ministry as the beast. And to be the beast, we've got to go up so he can be cast down. Now, there's a spiritual side of that you'll see in us, but there's a literal casting out of Satan. Watch him on 307. Watch. Rides a pale horse as he appears on his ride. This last ride. He's on his last now. Notice, this is not in our day. That will be on down. It's a seal foretold because, see, the church has gone up when this happens. Now, when you come to this beast stage, the church is done gone. The church has gone up, see, when this happens. It's not in our day. Now, that's two statements out of the fourth seal to show you that it's not in our day. Page 305, you'll find as the church goes up, Satan's cast out of heaven. Now, I want you to read it, and I'll just preach just a minute on it, and we'll close out on this part of it. But just think, read 301 through 305, well, really 307. at the casting out of Satan. See what the prophet says about it. He says he's cast out in the 12th chapter of Revelation. Then he covers over in the 13th chapter of Revelation. He said, see here, he's cast out. Well, all of us know the 13th chapter of Revelation is the beast as it raises up out of the sea and all in the wound that's received and all in the, and it comes forth again. But just think now. Satan, back before the world ever begun, he was the anointed cherub that stood beside the Lord. That's what the scripture calls. He was the greatest archangel there was outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. He exalted himself as Isaiah. Let's just read that scripture. Isaiah 14. He exalted himself to the place. You see, this seal shows where he comes to. Verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Now, he was called the son of the morning. He was the anointed cherub that stood beside the Lord. But now watch him as he comes down. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Stars of God are the sons of God. I will sit up also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Now, the northern side of heaven is a worship side. That's where they come to worship. So that's where he wanted to go to. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake nations? Now look where it comes to when they finally see him. But just think, Satan, back before the world ever begun, he was the anointed cherub. When God created the world and all, Satan got exalted and said, I'm going to exalt myself above God, and I'm going to become God. Now, isn't that what we studied on the first seal of first or second Thessalonians there, where we studied under the first seal, second Thessalonians, of how the man of sin would come sit in the temple of God, showing himself to be as God? Well, now, Satan was cast out back there. But you'll find in Revelations 12, the scripture gave, the prophet gives it in the fourth seal. You'll find in Revelations 12:10 it says that he is the accuser of the brethren. Satan is in heaven right now accusing me and you. Now, he was cast out of his position, but yet Satan can get an audience with God. He can go before God and talk to him. You find him there in the book of Job when he went before God and he told God, he said, let me have Job and I'll make him curse you to his face, to your face. Now, he talked to God about Job. See, the Bible calls him there the accuser of the brethren. And if you read the fourth seal, the prophet shows that at this time he's up there saying, I saw them people do that. God says, I don't see it. Satan's saying, look at what they're doing down there. Look at the things they're doing. God said, I don't see them. I'm looking through the blood and I can't see them. Well, see, Satan will one day then be cast out that he can't accuse us no more. Now, as we go up, the prophet says, he comes down. All right, then, when we get there, he can't be there. See, he can't stand where we're at because we'll be so much like God until we'll be God in human flesh. That's in the rapture. The resurrection, the rapture takes us to God, and Satan comes down. All right, then he's cast out. Read page 15 through page 22 of Questions and Answers, book 7. And see that was not just a vision that John saw up there, but a literal happening that Satan is cast out. But the church goes up. See, something happens under this fourth seal that we catch that revelation from under that seal, and right there is where the rapture comes in that seal. Because the fifth seal shows the souls under the altar. The sixth seal shows the tribulation period. We don't go there. The seventh seal will be the coming of the Lord to them. See, we catch it here. The seals are to Israel, but we get the spiritual revelation from them. We don't go over and see the beast in the tribulation. We go up before he can become the beast. Really, when I get to it, if my thoughts keep running correctly, it is our going up that causes him to become incarnate in the beast. See, as we leave, he sees he's lost all power. And the Bible said he knows he hath but just a little season. There, read Revelation 12 and 13 when you get home and see what it talks about. How that he was cast out of heaven. See, he was cast out back there. Then he's got to be cast out of me and you. That's a hard one, ain't it, to people to think that Satan's got to be cast out of us. But as I said a while ago, unless you're born again, Satan's in that soul controlling you. He's got to be cast out of there. Well, see, then when he's cast out and he loses all control of this man that I am and I walk off of this earth, then when I enter heaven, he's got to leave. Because he wouldn't be able to stand with me no more than he could stand in God's presence. He'll have to leave because the prophet says, as we go up, Satan comes down and becomes incarnate in his second stage, making him, according to 306 of the sealed book, making him Satan, now not just the Antichrist, not just a spirit, making him Satan fully on his throne. Have you ever seen a person that you thought, now that's the meanest person I've ever seen? That person is so mean, the devil just has him under his control. You ever heard people talk like that about somebody? So that person is just so mean, so vile until Satan has them under his control. You think that's a drunk laying out in an alley, or this kind of a man, or that, or an Adolf Hitler, or something like that, Al Capone, some great murderer. Brother Branham preached a message called "The Meanest Man I Know." You ever remember that message? He preached a message called "The Meanest Man I Know." And you'd think that would be the kind of man he was talking about. You know who the man was he's talking about? Listen to the tape back there on it. He said, it's the man that sees Jesus Christ and won't accept him as Savior. He said, that's the meanest man I know. He said, when he sees, like all of us said, all of this Christmas stories that we've heard all during the time and we'll continue to hear on up till Christmas about the baby Jesus and all of the things, that, and well and good. But in all of that, if they don't come to the realization of Jesus Christ in their heart, then he's just a baby. And you could just go out and build you up a story of some kind and get a follower in the same way. But just think now. All of them mixed colors that he has. Look at it mixed out there. And I'll get to it tonight. He has political power over all the governments of the world. He has religious power over all the religions of the world. He has demon power. And the Bible calls it over in Revelation 17 and 18, said it's the cage of all unclean and foul birds. Not clean birds, not good places, all unclean. He has all of them powers. And he controls people by that. You think he don't control you? Now we've got to work. We've got to do all kind of things like that. We've got to live. We've got to make a living. We've got to work at places and that. But what do you think he's doing to you with your jobs and things? The government is creating new jobs to get people to work. The government's doing all of this. What do you think you'd say if you come down, as I said the other week when I was talking about mom and daddy drawing Social Security, mom and daddy drawing pensions and this and that and the other, and then they come out to you and they say, well, we've took care of your family all of this time. What do you think they're doing?
They're getting control of your mind. There was a movie, I didn't see it, but some people told me of it, called Big Brother. Some of you might have seen it, but it was called Big Brother, where this man had fought all of his life down through there and been so against the systems of the things. And you know, at the end of the movie, Big Brother with his arms around him, because he had been won over to Big Brother's side. That's all Satan's trying to do. The Bible says it's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. He'll give you so much good, just enough to get you caught. All the whole thing across the world, he's giving, giving, giving. We are a religious nation. Is that what we're called? Ain't that a bunch of baloney? I mean, the people that vote our laws and give away all of this and the other, you know, to all of these people around the world, we're called a religious nation, and them up there drunk and carousing, and they have to wake them up and get them coffee and stuff and feed it to them, and finally just have to go in and make a lot of their votes probably for them. And yet we're a religious nation. Now, I'd rather be here than anywhere in the world. But we're called a religious nation. What's the rest of them called? Satan has it down now, see. His original thought was, I'll exalt myself, like it says in Isaiah. I'll ascend above the Most High. He's now being worshipped as God. Do you think for 1 minute that 99% of the people of the United States wouldn't vote for a man that would come in and say, I'll solve all of your problems? I'll just change this whole thing. I mean, prove, you know, he could do it. I don't mean like all these politicians that promise it. No, they can't do it. Brother Branham said they're looking for a Superman, and they'll find him. What would happen today? Wouldn't you like to see a government? We could go through a lengthy thing of talking about a government, and you would probably agree with it. How would you like to have an income tax of 10%? Do you know that's in the making now? They're trying to get all these things changed like that. Can you just have a 10% income tax? Who do you think's working all of that? Wouldn't it be nice in our economic society for you to owe payments of $200, $300, and $400 a month for things, and just seemingly no end to it, losing your jobs and just everybody getting out of work and just money to pay and things falling apart, and all at once somebody just steps in and they say, you know, we'll just take over this government. And instead of you owing $300 a month, we'll just let you owe $30. Instead of you owing $30,000 on your home, we'll let you owe $3,000 on it. Instead of you being out of a job, we'll just create jobs and we'll build plants and factories all over the world. The Bible says he calls his craft to prosper. Working. The most sensible thing the prophet said for us to do, and they done it in Cuba, was when Castro took over, they just called in all the stocks and bonds and paid them off, wrote checks for the people, and paid them for the land, just took over. They couldn't cash their check because it wasn't no bank. They changed the currency and started off on you. Brother Brown says, we can't do it. The reason I'm quoting him, because you'll know he knows what he's talking about. You know yourself they won't do it. Do you think all of the liquor and tobacco companies and the gas companies and all is going to give up all of their money? Do you think General Motors is going to give up all the billions they've made when they've made it so beautiful to the world that they can't pay us no more money and we ain't got no raises now in a year and something, and then Chrysler goes up there and strikes on them and they tell them, we'll give you $2,290-something a year raises? I'd like to have the $2,200, wouldn't you, Brother Collie, that we've lost over the past year?
But they made it look like that we were the dirty dogs, and they couldn't afford to pay us no more. I'm just showing you how much control. If they'd have told me when I went to General Motors in 1964 and saw what contracts were with the unions and the companies, if they'd have told me then that the union would have ever opened up a contract and give them money back that we walked the streets for, I'd have laughed at you. But now everybody's just over each other. Just look at the government now. General Motors is giving a Christmas gift of $300, I believe it is, to all employees that have been laid off that their funds have exhausted. Just giving it to them. How many thousands of hundreds of thousands of employees, say there's 700,000 or 600,000, something like that in GM, and over 100,000 of them laid off, and they're going to give them $300. How many millions of dollars is that? See, everybody, it's just working all together. We don't think about those things being part of it, but the whole system is crumbling inward, and it's getting control of the people. Everything is coming under a control system. The old days of the beating of the whip and all like that, they've kind of passed on to get to the man's mind and control him with it. As I said, we've got to work and all that, but that's part of the system. If we can just see it and realize what they're doing, we can't help but work. Don't quit your jobs and say, well, I won't do it, because years ago the people of this message done that. Where are they today? I was walking there when men made their kids quit school. They wouldn't let them go to school. We don't need this education for them. We're going to be out of here pretty quick. And they made their kids quit school. Now they're working in factories where they can't make a living. Have no education. We never taught our kids that. We never told our kids to quit school or do this, that, and the other. We just always let them go and do what they wanted to do. But yet I was there when people in this message got caught up in that, wouldn't you? How many of you can remember them? Some of you younger ones come on later, don't know what I'm talking about, but I went through days when they was ridiculing us because we let our kids go to school. When they'd moved our kids from state to state to keep them from having to go to school when they wasn't old enough to quit. Well, now Brother Branham didn't say that. Neither is he saying now, quit your jobs and just sit down and take it easy and let them take care of us. No, we work. A real Christian will. We work and we take care of, we live and we do and all like that. But let's just don't get caught by it. Let's see what that society is. And then when we have to, we can just say, well, society, go on. That's why I've never been one to want to go in debt and this, that, and the other and just try to build up, you know, and all. I could have had over the years and store up money and all the things. But all I want to do is get by until the Lord comes. Live good and have a good life and all like that, but just get by until the Lord comes, because I'm not interested in being around here no 50 more years or something. I'd hate to be around here that long. But just watch the system, just like Christmas. See, you can get caught up in all of that Christmas. Brother Hanson said the other day, about the Christmas carols. Everybody just sings them around at Christmas. Well, why don't they sing them all year? Everybody's built up around that period of time, but then right after Christmas, they all down because they got to make the payments on what they bought. See, they got to pay for all that, and it throws them downward then. The whole system is just crumbling inward. Ready for the beast to take over. Because if you can't see that, I mean, I'm honest. It would be nice for some feller to step up and say, I'll take over all this government, and instead of you paying, what are we paying, about 30-40% taxes now? So instead of you paying all that, so you just pay 10% taxes. And we'll just run the rest of it. Why, everybody in the country would vote for it.
not knowing that it was the end of them. I voted for John F. Kennedy not knowing that was a Roman Catholic, that we come away from Catholicism to the United States to get away from it, and that was the first Catholic president we'd ever had, and I voted for him. That's how much I was caught up in it. To vote for what we come over here to get away from. But just think, now what is that pale horse? That pale horse is all of them others put together. And you and I have got to get out of here. And then when we get out of here, he becomes incarnate in a beast. But yet that beast is so loved by everybody, he deceives everybody. Because the church will be gone, he'll deceive everything then but 144,000 Jews and two witnesses. Everybody else will have the mark of the beast. Then when it comes down to a place that they see what they've done, they'll give their lives, a foolish virgin, they call them, during the tribulation, will give their lives because they see they've done wrong. But me and you are warned ahead of time to watch that beast as he rises. And not to look out yonder, but to look in here and see if he's in us. Watch for him in here. You say, that ain't much of a Christmas message. No, but one of these days we'll be the happiest people that's ever thought about Christmas when we get the real true meaning of it and see that it's the Word. Like I said in the start, I don't want to talk about a baby. I want to talk about a dead, risen, living Lord Jesus Christ that can come here in the end time. What if it hadn't been for him coming in the end time and showing us the Word? Joyce, would you come? Brother Hansen's preached a good message in Atlanta the other night on Hark the Herald Angel Sing, you know, that song is sung. A herald angel is a king's messenger, you know, like he's the one proclaiming the message. Well, what would it be in this end time? Watch it now when we get on over a little later. Watch what it is when this, the combat beast in this age is the only age that names the beast. The angel of this age called it the beast. See, because he's the only one that knew it. He's the only one that knew where it was at. Let's just stand together. Anyone has a need, then we'll just sing a song and just... Number 35, what is it? My faith looks up to thee. 39, I guess. My faith looks up to thee. But just remember, the fourth stage reveals him as the beast. And whatever it is this morning, I'm not spiritual enough a lot of times to catch things, but there's something was wrong this morning in me or you or both of us. I'll just say it that way. The Lord has to take care of things, but he said his word wouldn't return to him void, so maybe in what we just said enough to where you could catch it. Because something is bothering us, and I know that it's sometimes when you start talking about just beasts and things like that, the younger ones, they wonder, well, what in the world are you talking about? But we're talking about that system, that thoughts and ideas that we all have contrary to the Word. The Lord will have to take that out of us. The Lord will have to guide us, lead us through it. But in this time of Christmas, just keep on your mind the real Christmas of Jesus Christ. Just think about that 2,000 years ago, a baby was born that would be the Savior of the world. He came and gave his life that you and I might have the joy of Christmas in our heart. That God might live in each one of us. And if you don't know him this morning as a Savior, like that, if you just know him as a baby that was in a manger, let that baby grow up this morning and become a man and die on a cross for you and take your sins and nail it to a cross and receive that Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, because if you don't, you have the mark of the beast because it's unbelief. Finally terminates with Satan being incarnate in the beast. See, that's how serious it is. That's the hour that we're living. Let's sing this if anyone has a need. My faith looks up to thee. Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine, now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be holy thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to anyone else. My zeal inspires.
My brother has a physical need, but he has a spiritual one too. Let's pray. Father, we believe thy word. No feelings have anything to do with it, or how we feel or anything, but yet we feel thy word is true. That's how our feelings are. We doubt our doubts. Now let the word come to our brother and just, Lord, cleanse him of this sickness that he has. Because the word is present to him. By your stripes he's already healed. Give him a spiritual uplifting, Lord, that he has a need in Jesus' name. Anyone else?
Be thou my God. His turn today, why sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside.
We appreciate each one of you being out. Just remember during this Christmas season to just be what you're supposed to be. Just live for the Lord and walk and just thank the Lord for sending us a Christmas, sending us a deliverance, a time that we could see the real truth and know where we're at. We have some fruit out in the back of the station wagon for each one of you. It's just a little gift. We can't give everybody something, you know, do this, that, and the other. I always try to give Brother Colleen, Brother Moat, something as a gift from me to them, because that's, I appreciate them and the help they do throughout the year and all. We have some fruit and all for you as children and things, and that's not just 10-year-old children too, that's all of us together. There's fruit there for everybody, so get you a bag of it and just have a good time in the Lord. Keep your mind in the right channel during this Christmas and you'll come out right. If you think right, you'll come out right. Any other announcements to be made?